now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester here on a Tuesday morning. Feels like a Monday. Hope everybody enjoyed the Labor Day holiday. We are, Tommy, we are ready to cram it in this week as we have a ton to cover from the weekend and a ton to get ready for as well as we make our way through it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're really excited about it. We've got to talk K-State football, KU football, get you ready for a Chiefs game in just a few days. Things are happening with the Royals, and it's all what's on tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer that's made with actual pumpkin and served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Good morning, Tommy. How are you? How was the weekend?
Man, a lot to get to on the show. Busy weekend. Tons and tons of college football culminating last night in the debut of Bill Belichick in North Carolina. Didn't go according to plan for him, at least. A good night for the Big 12, though. TCU demolishes North Carolina. But there were big-time matchups all around the country in college football. As you mentioned, the Royals, and we've got NFL just around the corner. It's going to be a busy day.
It is going to be a lot of fun. Didn't go quite so good for the hoodie last night. I sprinkled a little on TCU. I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I'm like, is North Carolina even good? Like, does Bill Belichick even know what he's doing yet in college football? Like, TCU is going to be a good team. So that was eventful. Good for the Big 12. Always good to see the Big 12 take down ACC or anything cross rival, anything like that. A lot of attention, I think, for us will be K-State and KU, and we're going to have the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, in next segment to help us with K-State, but certainly a lot to sort through there, Tommy, and a lot needed for the Cats to get to where, you know, they wanted to kind of start the year. They're not there yet. You know, can they get to where they ultimately want to be? I think, you know, we have a long season to get to that point, but at least to the starting point, they're not where we or probably they thought they would be started this year.
Yeah, I mean, they narrowly avoided disaster on Saturday against North Dakota. And North Dakota is they're good, but they're not up near the top of the FCS schools. And so it was a little shocking, a little surprising that they hung with Kansas State and had chances to win that ball game. There were a couple of moments there for the Wildcats where it was pretty nerve-wracking, I would imagine, if you were up at Bill Snyder Family Stadium on Saturday. Not a good outing for them at all. They do squeak out the victory, but I would say today a lot more questions than answers regarding Kansas State.
There's no question. It's just like, what happened to the defense? And we'll get Wyatt Thompson's take on all of that. If I had told you K-State would be 1-1, almost 0-2. And Avery Johnson's kind of played fine, you'd be like, wait, what? It's weird. It's a little bit weird. And KU, I can't wait for him to play somebody this week because I don't know what to take away from Fresno State and Wagner, right? Like, I'm glad they played well, but now let's see him play somebody and really get a good stack of them. So it'll be a good college football week, an eventful college football week for sure. And of course, we start the NFL season with Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to Brazil in just a couple of days here. Let's go. I'm ready for this. We know Rashee Rice isn't going to play. This preseason is done. We've got contracts signed. All the drama of the offseason is for the most part finished all across the NFL. Now it's time to play football. We're going to do that in 2 days, Tommy. 2 days. We're playing NFL football for real. Let's go.
Yeah, I saw Najee Harris is going to play for the Chargers. He's coming back from that fireworks mishap that he had over the 4th of July. So the Chiefs will have to contend with him defensively. We're getting to that point. We're going to be seeing official injury reports coming out over the next couple of days. But you're right. I mean, we kick it off on Thursday. We've got Cowboys and the defending champion Eagles going at it Thursday night to kick off everything. And then, of course, the Chiefs and Chargers in Brazil on Friday.
Yeah, it'll be it always feels like it's going to be the greatest NFL season ever. And it usually, you know, keeps us entertained. And then the Royals, Tommy, they get one game against the Tigers. It was exciting. I was at that game. It was a lot of fun Saturday. But here we go. While they're gaining ground on Seattle, now Texas is 9-1 out of the last 10. They've won 6 in a row, and they've jumped them in the standings. So, you know, that's not good for the Royals either. They're not going to catch, I don't think, the Yankees or the Red Sox at this point. They trail both of them by 7 games. Like, it's going to now be a 3-team race for the final wild card between Texas, Kansas City, and Seattle. And we'll see what happens. But they had the day off yesterday, which I found a little bit odd on a holiday like that. That doesn't feel like that ever happens in Major League Baseball. But they needed a day off. It'll be good for them to catch their breath. And, you know, here they go. They jump right back into the fold tonight with the pressure on. You're playing a team like the Angels. You got to beat up on a team like the Angels. And we'll see if they can get it done.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of this series. You have to take advantage of when you play Seattle head-to-head coming up in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a mad dash to the finish line for this team in particular, but all three teams that are competing for that final wild card spot in the AL. September call-ups happened yesterday. Jack Caglione is back. They call up Carter Jensen, so we'll see if he can make an impact at the big league level this month and help the Royals to try to get a wild card spot. And then Jonathan India goes to the IL. He's got a issue with his left wrist, and so we'll see how long that keeps him out. They've got a significantly more depth than they did a couple of months ago. So that's probably not the end of the world for the Royals.
Yeah.
You would obviously like to have India healthy, but as long as he can get that rehabbed and get back before the playoffs, you feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, we're gonna have plenty of reinforcements there for India. But it's, you know, yesterday was the day off, first and only day off for 2 weeks here for the Royals. So it's a pretty critical time. We're gonna give some stuff away today, and that includes our first chance to win some Tyler Hubbard tickets. September 14th. Here we go. Just a couple of weeks at Equity Bank Park. This is a big time show. And they announced it not that long ago, Tommy. So we've got your opportunity to win. If you want to go to see Tyler Hubbard, here you go. A pair of tickets. We're going to have 10 winners to this. So your shot to win a pair of tickets begins right now. Just text the keyword Tyler to 20357. Tyler 20357. To get your winner in, you can score that pair of tickets. It's Tyler Hubbard with Drew Baldridge on September 14th at Equity Bank Park. Good luck, everybody. We'll give away some HTO later in the show as well. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up and, you know, primed for this Tuesday that feels like a Monday that follows a big sports weekend that leads us into an even bigger sports weekend. Let's go. And we're going to do it. We're going to start you off with the K-State talk. Was probably the story of the weekend, not for all the best reasons, but that's where we'll start today with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, when we return. What is going on here? What can be done? What do we even take away from what we saw on Saturday? How much concern do we need to have from Saturday, and how quickly can they get things turned around? We'll talk to Wyatt Thompson about all of it when we return. We've got Royals, Chiefs, KU talk as well. Tommy, I'm ready. This is the first week that feels like, hey, it's the fall. The weather wasn't ideal yesterday for like pool parties or summertime, the end of summer. Fall got a head start, and we're going. This week in the sports calendar, it's the fall. We're coming right back.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
And welcome back in, everybody. We welcome in Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats, our insider there. Wyatt, it is a little weird start to the K-State football season. A little different than I think any of us expected here. What was the vibe like there on the Labor Day holiday around Manhattan?
Well, you know, after the press conference yesterday, I had a chance to visit briefly with Coach Klieman, and you know, he's fighting them a little bit right now, to be real honest with you. They did not play, as you probably saw and or heard, in the first half. It was not necessarily the performance anywhere in the hemisphere of what they wanted. I think they were really good in the third quarter, and frankly, pretty dominant. And then I don't know whether they let up or there were maybe an adjustment or two made by North Dakota, but then they fought back and you have to go win the game in the waning minutes. Not what they wanted for sure. But I think Coach said it best. Winning these games are hard. You may be upset, and that's okay. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. But they found a way to win the game, and now you try to build from that. And there are some things that we can talk about that are going pretty well and some that are not so much. So have a way at it, right? Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you look, you know, defensively, Wyatt, especially with the secondary, North Dakota kind of had their way with the secondary for Kansas State. They had some pretty long, sustained touchdown drives in that game that is unlike and not anything that I expected to see from this Wildcat defense. What was your major takeaway from what we saw defensively and especially with the secondary?
Well, Coach said it after the game, and then he said it yesterday. The eye discipline was awful. Those are his words, not mine. Awful. And I don't think you can play this game that way. You have to be locked in. You have to be ready to go and be assignment sound. And I think, to be honest, I think there were guys that overran plays, guys that were in the wrong spots and that kind of stuff. He even hinted a little bit yesterday about VJ Payne, who's one of K-State's best defenders, you know, trying to do too much, helping other guys. And I think that may be part of it, too. I want to give all the credit that I possibly can to North Dakota because they were a hard team to prepare for because you didn't really know what you were going to get. I don't know if you guys would agree with this assessment or not, but I thought their quarterback was not only good but played well and had some weapons. And when you combine that with the lack of eye discipline that K-State had and you know, the inconsistencies in which they played, it made a game out of it. You know, it's just reality.
It's a little weird to me, though, Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, joining us. I just didn't expect that from the defense after what we saw against Iowa State. I think that was what was so jarring to me. You know, we watched the Iowa State game, and it felt like it was sort of the offense that was slogging along a little bit, but the defense looked strong. And then at home against North Dakota, all of a sudden it was like, well, what is this defense? You know, that's what's a little confusing to me and makes it a little trickier to know, like, what should I be taking away from this? Which thing is real?
Well, I think that is I wish we could have recorded that and played that back. That is very astute on your part, because which way do you go, right? I almost look at it as a roundabout. Am I going to go around in this lane or go out this way? We don't know. I, too, was disappointed in the defensive performance after being very excited after week one, even in defeat, about what they were and how they played, how they got after the quarterback, you know, forced a couple of turnovers. The one thing that they did do is they did get, at times, pressure on the quarterback. And I think, hopefully, knock on wood, that'll be a constant with this group. I think they've got the ability to do that, and they're doing all of this basically without Ryan Davis, who's, along with Toby, one of the guys that they talked about being a difference-making person. So I'm good with that. You know, you don't hear this phrase very often, if ever. I don't think Austin Romain played anywhere in the hemisphere of what he's capable of doing, and he's maybe K-State's best defender. So what we're describing here, or trying to, is just the inconsistency, the ups and downs. And what are they really? Well, maybe it's a little bit more in the middle if they're going to play like that. What I choose to look at, and maybe this is just a the Wildcat in me here is how they played in the third quarter after what I would say, you know, they got routed at halftime, I'm sure, by the coaches. And they came out and dominated. North Dakota, I don't think, had a first down in the third quarter. K-State had a 10-point lead after that period. You know, they were good. Their offense and defense was good. But I think you have to look broader there, too, because of the inconsistencies. The team is, in some spots, still fighting some health things, but getting better. Depth things, but hopefully getting better. And now you got a team coming in here that they're going to be angry. I don't know how much you guys follow Army, but they won 12 games last year, had a great quarterback and a great running back. Those guys are gone, thank goodness, for our sake. But they're going to come in, and they didn't play well at home against Tarleton and lost in two overtimes. So they'll bring it, you watch. Guarantee it.
You know, I guess if you want to find a glass half full mentality and think of it in a certain way, shedding a positive light, I guess you could say Kansas State did show quite a bit of resilience towards the end of that game. I mean, they very easily could have lost that game. It looked like they would probably lose the game late in the fourth quarter, and I didn't think that North Dakota's clock management was all that good down the stretch, giving Kansas State an opportunity to go down and win the ball game. But I guess if you want to look at it from a glass half full perspective, there was some resilience where, you know, they could have easily folded and walked away with a home loss. Would have made things a lot more difficult as the season progresses. So, I mean, taking that away from the game and the performance on Saturday night, there probably are some building blocks that you can take from what happened on Saturday to move forward.
Tommy, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think when you're down like that, who do you turn to? Avery Johnson.
Yeah.
And with the game on the line, he responded. I mean, they had an 80-yard touchdown drive to win the game. He was virtually flawless. Coach, I think, was very, very, very pleased with not only the performance, but just his demeanor, calmness, confidence, those types of things. I think you build off of that. This football team is somewhat built offensively around him. I think he and Jace Brown have a really good chemistry cooking right now. They targeted him 16 times. He had 12 catches. There's a lot of things there. I do think that Bradley and Tibbs are starting to kind of get their feet underneath them a little bit. You still had to play the game without Dylan Edwards. Will he be back this week? I think that's still up in the air. I was encouraged by Devon Rice, and I've liked Devon since I first saw him, freshman from Bishop Gorman High School in Las Vegas. He can do a lot of different things. He can help you in special teams. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball. And it helps out Joe Jackson as a second option. So if they do, in fact, get Dylan Edwards back, he's in the plans. He was such a big factor of what they were going to do. I think it'll only make them better. But hopefully some of these other guys are coming around. But one thing that has to improve offensively, okay, away from Dylan Edwards coming back, and Coach has talked about this after both games, the offensive line and pass pro has been pretty good, but they need more surge and more consistency in blocking in the run game, period, end of story.
Is it, as we look at this and we see a loss to Iowa State and an almost loss to North Dakota and like refocus on the Big 12 and trying to get to the championship game, have you seen the progress into year three now with Avery Johnson and thrown an interception, 5 touchdowns, he's completing almost 70% of his passes. He's been enough of a weapon in the run game. I don't think we've unlocked him there yet, probably on purpose, but you know, are you seeing in year three the development that you wanted to see out of him? Because it feels like we are.
I think we are for the most part. That last part of your question, I think, is the real key to this. In that he has been a part of the run game, but I don't know if this is an accurate way to put this. I don't know that he's just cut himself loose or they have cut him loose in the run game yet.
They want him to, do they?
Well, I don't think so. I think there's a really fine line there, and you guys know this. Our fans know it, too. I think in a perfect world, if you knew he wasn't going to get hurt, let him rock.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when he has the ball in his hands and he gets out in space, he is a nightmare times 50, right? But you don't want to run in between the tackles a whole lot. You don't want to – he's got to – I think he has a pretty good feel of, you know, seeing things and when to get down and protecting himself and all of that. So there is a fine line there of you want him cutting it loose on every play just because of the skill set, but I don't know that that's going to be something that happens, you know, as much as most fans would like, and including this fan you're talking to. I really like him, and I think he's a very gifted player, but you also have to protect him because behind him, the coaches are still pretty up in the air on who's the next guy in, and the competition is pretty tight between those other three guys.
It doesn't get talked about a whole lot, Wyatt, but, you know, through the first two games of the season, I would say that the special teams for the Wildcats has left a lot to be desired. You know, of course, you had the muffed punt, you know, early in the game against Iowa State, had another turnover on Saturday, penalties on special teams. In your mind, what's going on with that unit?
I think they're still trying to find themselves. You know, the real question about special teams going in was going to be the kicker. We haven't necessarily seen a lot out of Luis Rodriguez, but what we have seen, I think you get encouraged by. But there are some things in the special teams area that have been pretty concerning, honestly, right? You mentioned the turnover. I think coach is totally committed and loves Rice Nornberg. I think he's got the potential to be a good returner, but, you know, turnovers are turnovers, and you got to try to clean that up a little bit. But even up and above and beyond that, I think, coach, again, going back to that depth thing, the depth is where they really develop young guys, whether it's a Logan Bartley or, you know, as one example, they see the field there first, and then that leads to them getting opportunities in other spots. And it's such a big thing. I was talking to Wesley Fair yesterday at the press conference, and he said he's on basically every special team, but he's not playing every special team because he's a backup, because he's playing so much and is a starting safety now. So you get what I'm saying here, that they're working there to get better. And in some of those spots, you know, you've got some pretty darn young players manning those positions. And I think we've seen some mistakes. And when that happens, you get exposed a little bit.
Real quick, Dylan Edwards, you mentioned it. What does Wyatt Thompson's gut say? Hold him through the bye for there, or are we going to maybe see him before the bye and back to Big 12 play?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think we'll see him before the bye. I don't know that we'll see him this week, but I do think it is somewhat possible. But I'll go out on a limb. And again, this is just me. This isn't right. Any of the coaches telling me this. I'd be surprised if we don't see him, if not this week, certainly for Arizona. But again, that's what I think. And probably we'll find out a little more in the coming days. But I was encouraged by some of the comments yesterday about some of the health of the guys. He didn't necessarily specifically mention Dylan, but you almost feel like, you know, maybe he's starting to, you know, get a little bit closer.
And then let's look at Army real quick. They're not going to throw the ball. We know North Dakota did. So if the secondary is the problem, I think Army threw it 12 times in the double overtime game last week. They're going to run the ball. So different sort of challenge for K-State. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it could be both. I mean that sincerely, because they run the triple option and it's so difficult to prepare for. You don't see it very often. Coach reminded all of us yesterday at the press conference that he has some history with Jeff Munkin when Jeff was at Georgia Southern, had some fabulous games back in 2011 and 2012 in the FCS playoffs. I think he said both were semifinal games. They don't have the same quarterback, Bryson Daly, from last year, but Dwayne Coleman is a little bit more athletic and does have the ability to throw it some, which gives you a little bit of concern there, especially if they are able to run the ball. They do have a good running back in Hayden Reed, but they also use Noah Short, who lines up in the slot, and they use him a lot like we use Dylan Edwards. They move him everywhere. He'll run the ball. He'll catch the ball, and he's got really pretty solid speed for them. They're still kind of finding themselves, too, after winning 12 last year and losing quite a bit, because not only did they lose Daly, but that superstar running back is now at Arizona State. So they lost some guys in the portal, too, and it seems weird for them to have that happen, right or wrong. But this is a big game for K-State. You got to go get this one, and then you start honing in on Arizona.
Well, Wyatt, you guys will have a lot of fun with that broadcast, I'm sure. It's always a lot of fun to play the service academies anytime that you can. It's a Saturday evening kick again, ESPN game back on national TV.
Yep.
We'll see if they can get it done.
Yeah, and you need to and I think cleaning things up. I'll say it that way again. I think all fans are going to walk in to the stadium in that with that mindset of, are we going to be better in special teams? Are we going to be more consistent in the run game, run blocking, that kind of stuff? And then what about that eye discipline on defense? I'd be watching all of those things.
A triple option eye discipline.
I know. 100%. It's got to go together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy, man.
You're going to get tested on that. All right, Wyatt, have a great call this weekend. We'll be back normal schedule next week to get it recapped. And hopefully we're breathing easy for the Cats for the first time this year.
Nice talking to you, fellas. Appreciate it.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. Oh, boy, Tommy, that's a stressful weekend for Cat fans. It's a stressful start of the season for Cat fans. You know, it's all about K-State versus K-State right now. It doesn't really matter, probably, for any team in the Big 12. We've talked about this all summer long. Are Big 12 teams getting in, you know, right now with this even and everything else that we expect the league to be? It's going to be tough to get more than a team in there. Until somebody runs away with this thing, which doesn't look like it's going to happen, these are all sort of tune-up games for the games. Well, Iowa State was not, obviously. But all the games now to this week and next week until you get back into conference play, we got to see him play better.
You have to. And I saw some people online talking about how, well, you know, you got to cut Kansas State some slack because they just were in Ireland and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Iowa State, they were just in Ireland and they bulldozed their opponents over the weekend. So, you know, I don't know if that particularly holds water, but it's a tense time right now in Manhattan. You're 1-1, almost 0-2 after just about losing to an FCS school. You've got to clean it up. You've got to get better. I agree with Wyatt. I do think we'll see Dylan Edwards sooner rather than later. If he can go, they're going to have him back out there. My opinion on that has changed. Initially, I thought, hold him out until Big 12 play. You clearly need him to be more than just a one-dimensional offense. You've got to have him out on the field, and you've got to get him acclimated with the offense if he's healthy. So I don't know if we'll see him this weekend, but I do think I agree with Wyatt. More than likely, we'll probably see him back out there against Arizona.
Yeah, and look, it doesn't have to be he comes out and carries the ball 30 times right away. Come out and carry the ball 10.
Yeah, just get him worked back into the offense before conference play.
It's early enough. Look, it's early enough in the season where we can try to say definitive things like North Dakota's not very good or Iowa State housed South Dakota. Maybe North Dakota's way better than South Dakota this year. Who knows? Doesn't matter. K-State has to play better than that, right? We could look back at the end of the season, K-State could be really good, and we look back and we're like, oh, wow, North Dakota's in the FCS playoffs right now. That ended up being a really good team. Doesn't matter right now. Right now, you just played an FCS team at your place, and you didn't play good enough. So play better. That's it. They got to play better. They got to play better football. Avery Johnson looks good. You know, that was the first box for everybody in this season. He looks good. So take it from there. Tommy's good weekend. Went up to the Royals on Saturday. By the time we got in the car and able, we turned the K-State game on. One of my kids is a K-State fan because they're purple and they're the Cats. And so we caught the final drive. Like, that was the only thing we got to see until I was able to go back and watch some of it. It's the only thing we got to see of the actual live game. So kids were riding high. Son got a Bobby Witt Jr. jersey and he hits the home run in the eighth. And then we get that. They were on a sports high on the ride back.
It was a good Royals game on Saturday. They had to have it. I mean, because they did not get it done on Friday. They did not get it done on Sunday against Scoobal. So they had to have that game on Saturday. Clutch home run late in the game. For Bobby Witt Jr., I was going to ask you, did you have a good betting weekend? Were you able to make some money?
Yeah, I tailed Glasser on LSU, which was eventful. His only miss, by the way, for those that keep track of this thing, and I know there are a lot of you out there that do, his only miss was Notre Dame. So I made some money with KU. I think I had Wagner the under parlayed together. And those hit. I think that's what it was. And then I won some money with TCU last time. I haven't bet much, Carl. Like, you, it's almost, you'd be embarrassed if you saw my NFL betting slips, because I'll make so many NFL bets. Nothing for a large amount of money, but I just make tons of them. I don't really do that with college football. Like it'll be KU and K-State most of the time. And then once we get a little more Big 12, I'll kind of bet the Big 12. Or if it's a situation last night, one game on, it's like, all right, fine, let's take a side in TCU, North Carolina. But I don't bet college football the way I bet the NFL.
I had a horrible betting weekend. I don't think I won a single bet. And it was due large in part because the majority of games that I bet on, I was taking the overs, and it seemed like none of the overs hit. I mean, I know last night did, but like Texas, Ohio State, it was 14-7 was the final score, and I think I bet the over on that. There were a few other ones. I know I bet the over with Notre Dame and LSU. I think the under hit on that. I mean, there were a lot of games that I threw on the over and didn't get anything done. It was not a profitable weekend for me.
Yeah, we'll get there with the NFL. Don't you worry. We're going to get there this week with the NFL. It's coming, baby. I'm traveling this week too. I won't be with you on Thursday and Friday. So I've got to get everything set up. The good news is all the player props are already out for the most part. They're not all parlayable yet, which is, that's kind of how I bet the NFL usually is like putting player prop, whatever. So we're not there yet, but I've got to get that all done. I love it. Two hammers. I will tell you, two hammers for college that feel like hammers for me this week are a K-State rebound and cover, because I think their line is being suppressed greatly, as it probably should be. I mean, it's still a risky play, but if you believe in the Cats at all, I think their line's like 17 right now. And the other one is a KU over against Missouri. Now, I haven't watched a lot of Missouri. I had them up on like the four screen thing, their first game, and I just kept looking up and I was like, dude, they're at 55 in the first half. And KU, as we make a transition to them, when they want to, has looked near unstoppable offensively so far this year. What I don't love about college football is KU has played Fresno State and Wagner. And so, like, I don't know what any of this means yet. Like, I don't know how to compare Fresno State to Wagner to North Dakota to whatever. So, like, college football, like, I cannot wait until maybe there's expansion and there's more pressure to get rid of the Wagner games. And then I hate them because it doesn't teach us anything. I will say though, for KU, it's teaching us that they look as good as we could hope that they look. I mean, I think optimism should be at its peak for KU fans. But this week, like, let's just go in with an open mind about what this team is so far. I don't think we still know. We just know that they've looked as good as they can possibly look given who they've played.
Yeah, as of right now, I'm not going to bet anything on the Kansas-Missouri game. That may change as we get a little bit closer. But right now, I'm staying away from it entirely because, yeah, we don't know. And by the way, people want to call this a rivalry game. It's more than a rivalry game. Like, this is a... Yeah. Deep,
one of the top in college,
like a
yeah.
deep level of hatred between these two universities dating back 150 years. The fact that the rivalry went away for as long as it did, is egregious, and it's back, and that's great that it's back. I almost wish, and this may be controversial, I almost wish that it wasn't a home and home, because some of my favorite Kansas Missouri matchups were at Arrowhead, and I wish that that's where this series was played every single year. Although, having, home environments and all of that in alternating years will be fun. And with the new stadium in Lawrence next year, that'll be, awesome too. But man, those games in, when was it? 2007, 2008 at Arrowhead, the Border War. Some of the best football I've ever watched. But the fact that this matchup is coming back, I'm staying away from it as of right now. I'll reserve my right to change my mind, but I'm staying away from it for right now just because it's been so long since these two teams have matched up against each other. I just don't have a good feel for it one way or another.
I mean, I don't know how we have good feels for anything in college football, even when we have had great matchups. Like the people trying to close the book on Arch Manning, it's like, have you ever watched college football before? Like you gave a kid, you gave a kid that has had almost no experience in opening assignment of going to Ohio State and playing
with
a historically good defense. Like if you don't, if you think that right there is it for Arch Manning, I mean,
I get it, but he was objectively awful. Like it wasn't even like he was, you know, mediocre.
Guess how many quarterbacks are going to go to Ohio State and look awful this year?
Oh no, I get it. I mean, and look, like you're taking this guy in his first, you know, big time start to the shoe and taking on Matt Patricia's defense and all of that. Yeah, it's going to be a daunting task. He'll bounce back for sure. That being said, though, I do – my overall assessment of Arch Manning has probably declined a little bit. Like, I'm not sure that he is a world beater anymore,
right? Yeah, I guess it depends on where you had him. Like, the Heisman talk and all that. I've always thought that was crazy. Like, he hasn't played, like, almost at all.
It wasn't
what are we doing here?
It wasn't – though. I think here's where I stand on it. It wasn't just – the fact that you're going to Ohio State, big pressure game, you're the number one team, you're taking on Matt Patricia's defense, defending national champs. It wasn't just that. I don't know if you had a chance to watch his mechanics at all.
Yeah.
Coming from the pedigree that he's got and growing up in the Manning Passing Academy and all of that, those were egregious mechanics. Like some of the throws that he made, it had nothing to do with the defense and the looks that he got. It was just like horrible mechanics that we saw from him.
I watched plenty of Eli Manning play football too. Like it's not all Peyton Manning. It's not all the robot of Peyton. Like give the kid a chance. He'll be fine. People, it's like everyone turned into Paul Savage on Saturday. Like, oh, he gets paid so much money. I can't believe he's not perfect right now. Like what? Like,
I don't think that was
Columbus playing his first game ever.
I will say that was a great Paul Savage impression. Thank you. But I think it was just jarring, and I watched the game from start to finish.
I will agree with that's a good ad.
It was jarring just watching how horrible he looked on the field. And it was also more jarring when you're watching it and you're seeing him in basically every commercial. And then you come back from break, and he's throwing incompletions and picks and all of that, and you're like, wait a second, like this does not compute for me. Like I'm watching him in a Warby Parker commercial 30 seconds ago, and then he's back on my screen throwing the football. And I mean, he looks objectively bad. I think that was the jarring part for me.
I don't know how good he'll be. I've never known how good he'll be. All I know is he kept losing the job to Quinn Ewers. And I think that meant something to me anyway. I'm like, I don't know. Like, what? Why is everybody crowning Arch as the first overall pick? And the great, like, we have to see him play. He's not won the job now. He's like, he was 0-3 or whatever it was in winning that job to begin with. And, you know, let's just let the kid play. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen. And I'm not being naive. Of course, it's not going to happen. And I appreciate all the Uncle Rico things and everything else. back to KU, though. Jalen Daniels, and it's sort of the opposite of that, right? Jalen Daniels looks like the Jalen Daniels that came in a couple of years ago as the preseason Big 12 Player of the Year. But he's played Fresno State and he's played Wagner. So on the complete other end of the spectrum, I'm just ready to see KU do this against a competent opponent so we can know a little bit more. I don't know how you could be any more optimistic out of what you've seen from him specifically, and it all starts with him, especially right now with this team when we don't know a whole lot about them. We know a lot about him, and when he's right, he's a Heisman candidate, and he hasn't been right like that until probably, the end of last year? Before that, it had been a couple of years since we've seen him play at that level, and he is doing it right now. Can't wait to see him step in against an SEC team and try to give it a shot.
Yeah, it goes back to the conversation we had last segment with Wyatt Thompson about letting Avery Johnson loose and whether or not that's even something that K-State wants to do with Johnson. I do think, on the flip side, that is something, for the most part, that the Jayhawks want to let happen with Jalen Daniels. And I know that he's injury prone and all of that. But this is, by all accounts, I mean, it really is Jalen Daniels' last chance. And so let it all hang out. Go out there and do your thing and just ball out and do what you know you can do. That's the important thing. I do think that even the game against Wagner, you know, they put up a bunch of points, but they weren't at full strength offensively. LeSean Williams, the backup running back, didn't play. He suited up, but he didn't play in the game on Friday. He should be available for Saturday's game. Having a 1-2 punch with him and Daniel Hyshaw, I think, is important because that can potentially help soften up the Missouri defense somewhat to allow Jalen Daniels to go and do his thing and throwing the football. But you've got Emmanuel Henderson, who looks like he is the real deal. And the game against Wagner, I mean, he balled out for sure. And he was the guy in the game against Wagner. It was Cam Pickett in the first game against Fresno State. So there were so many questions going into the season about what does the receiving core look like for Kansas with the loss of Grimm and Arnold and like the top pass catchers for Daniels. Those guys are gone, and now you've got a couple of new guys that are in that look to be that they look to be productive, and you know that I think that's a key positive as well, because Daniels can do all the things, but if he doesn't have guys to actually catch his passes, then it's not going to work out, and it looks like he does.
Well, and it goes into the, here's a hot take for you. I don't want Jalen Daniels running the ball. Avery Johnson is an electric, gifted runner, unlike few players at the position in college football. That's not what Jalen Daniels is at his best. He ran the ball more last year than he ever has before because he wasn't throwing the ball well. If you go back to his really good college years, he doesn't run that much. He doesn't run as much as people think he does. It's in his bag, but it's not like Avery Johnson, who we were talking about, who can make a house call. Like, I want Jalen Daniels throwing the ball the way he's been throwing the ball. I think that's when he's at his best. The more of the Mahomes split on throws to runs. Like, yeah, it's there. I can use it when I need to use it to pick up a first down or get a touchdown, but I'm going to beat you through the air. And that's what he's done this year so far. And that's what I've really liked. He hasn't had to bail and you know, use that crush. He's looked really good. Can't wait to see it against Missouri. We're going to have much more on this game throughout the week. Shreyas Lotta will join us tomorrow. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away. Right here on KFH.